Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is
back. Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready.
All right, welcome to Esprit.net News. I'm your host, Jerome. On this program, it's Black History Month, so, you know, we have to have some Black History Month stuff on today, and because we're still in Black History Month, it's the last week of it's the last show of Black History Month, but we may continue to put some more stuff on there for next week because there's just too much for 28 days, by the way. Michael Jackson's Thriller has extended its range as the highest certified album in U.S. history. Uber hires former Attorney General Eric Holder to investigate sexual harassment claims. And pregnant Beyonce, you know, the superstar Beyonce, has pulled out of Coachella under doctor's advice, but promises to perform next year. We have that and This Week in Court, and much more. So I just want to welcome you on to the show. You're listening to Esprit.net News. This is where you get a week's worth of news in just one setting. Now, if you want to, I just want to say hey to everyone on the line, by the way. And if you want to join the program anytime, just hit 1 on your line. Or, you know, you can email us at news@soulofsyracuse.com. And we will get to your messages there. Now, our first story, before we go to our first story, we're just going to jump to the news. You know, since it's Black History Month, we'd like to start the show off with some Black History Month information. So, Stan Lee, if you don't know who Stan Lee is, he's the creator of the X-Men. He created them in 1963. Now, he's not black, but in the midst of the Civil Rights Movement in 1963, he created the X-Men. So Lee wanted to create a comic that showed bigotry and racism via fantasy. So what he did is he created Magneto and Professor X. They were direct correlations of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, or El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz. And if you ever saw the cartoon before, one had a dream of uniting all men, and the other was more vigilant in their fight for respect. So you can guess who's who, but there was Magneto and Professor X of the X-Men. So when you see that movie and you wonder why there was no black folks in the X-Men, I don't know what to tell you. All right. Now, again, you're listening to Esprit.net News, but, you know, just had to give you a little bit of black history when we start the show. And actually, I have a lot, so I'll give you some more as we go on to the show. Now, just to give you some international, and I know this is Canada, but, you know, there was a colored hockey league of Maritimes in Nova Scotia that was formed in 1894 across the provinces of Canada. Now, this was 22 years before the National Hockey League. Now, this all-black, it's the first all-black hockey league, held over a dozen teams that employed over 400 African-Canadian players. Now, the men were typically natives from the Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island areas. Now, the league was especially surprising to the stereotypical beliefs that beliefs of white folks that blacks couldn't endure cold climates, or that we didn't have any ankles, we didn't have ankles strong enough to ice skate. I don't know where that thing came from. But the CHL, the Colored Hockey League, transformed the game into a fast-paced competition. The league consisted of teams such as the Dartmouth Jubilees, the Halifax Eurekas, the Touro Sheiks, and the Africanville Brown Bombers. Now, the Colored Hockey League would use the teachings of Booker T. Washington, the Bible, and speeches and speech resources from the Underground Railroad in their game books and strategies. So if you want to know more about that, you know, just kind of look up. It's called the Colored Hockey League of Maritimes in Nova Scotia. So I know that whenever I hear people talk about, you know, Black History Month, I just try to give you something a little different that you may not have known. And there you have it. Now, Oscar-nominated film Hidden Figures tells a story of an African-American woman whose math skills helped put a U.S. astronaut into orbit in the 1960s. But the history of black women working for NASA goes back much farther than that, and they were still struggling to get their best jobs in the 70s. Now, in 1943, 2 years after the U.S. joined World War II, Miriam Daniel Mann, who was 36 years old, she had three children, age 6, 7, and 8, but she also had a chemistry degree. Now, though her husband, a college professor, Mann heard about recruits visiting black college campuses. She registered to take the exam, passed it, and became one of the first black women to work as a human computer at the NACA, the Aeronautics Research Facility in Langley, at Langley in Virginia. Now, she was the first black person in NASA, but that was before it was actually called NASA. It was called the NACA, the National. I can't even think what the acronym was, but anyway, it was in 1943. Was not in the 70s or the 80s, just so that you know. Or the 60s, by the way, 43. All right, you're listening to EspriNet News on Espri Radio. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. Before we get into the news, just thought we'd do some, you know, give you some information, because it is Black History Month, and we want to keep everyone up to date on Black History. So there you have it. If you are on the line and you want to join in, always hit one on the line. I will bring you in if there's anything that you want to talk about. I'm sure there's going to be some stories that we missed. So if you want to talk about those stories, hey, feel free. You're welcome to join in. Now, Clyde Stubblefield, who's a drummer for James Brown, who created one of the most widely sampled drum breaks ever, he died on Saturday. Now, he was 73. Stubblefield performed on several of Brown classics in the 60s and early 70s, like Cold Sweat, Say It Loud, and Black and I'm Proud. I Got That Feeling. And the Sex Machine, the album Sex Machine, if you don't know what that is. But he's also best known for a short solo on Brown's 1970s single, Funky Drummer. Now, regarding the Funky Drummer drum beat, Stubblefield told the magazine, what magazine was it? It was, it wasn't Rolling Stone, but spoke about this in an interview. I don't know why I'm stumbling over the magazine, but he said that we were sitting up in the studio getting ready for a session, and I guess when I got set up, I started playing a pattern, started playing something. The bass line came in. The guitar came in, and we just had a rhythm going, and If Brown liked it, and if Brown liked it, I just said that, well, we'll put something with it. It was that beat. If you ever heard Funky Drummer or listened to early hip-hop or rap, which people are still sampling that same drum beat or that same drum pattern, it was sampled over 1,000 times and served as a backbeat for countless number of hip-hop tracks, including Public Enemy's Fight the Power, Dre, Let Me Ride, LL Cool J's Mama Said Knock You Out, Run DMC's Run's House, and even turned up on George Michael's Freedom. So Clyde Stubblefield, the guy who created that beat, Funky Drummer, passed away at 73 this week, so wanted to make sure I mentioned that. Michael Jackson's Thriller is still reigning as the highest certified album in U.S. history with certifications of 33 times platinum. That's according to the Record Industry Association of America. That's the RIAA. That means that Thriller has sold 33 million equivalent album units, including digital purchases, since it was released in 1982. Now, the RIAA counts not only the physical and digital albums, but also tracks sold from an album, with 10 tracks for one album sale. Now, as they also do, you know, on demand and audio video streams. I don't know why I'm stumbling over that, but if you didn't know, Michael Jackson's Thriller is still selling. So it kind of slowed down and other people were catching up to him, but it's still increasing so much that they overtook whoever came close to them. And, you know, those 33 million sales are just U.S. sales. So according to reps from Sony and Jackson State, the sales for Thriller are at 105 million globally. So I know you're thinking, that's 33 million, 33 times platinum. He's actually 105 times platinum. That's his global sales. So just wanted to make sure we gave a shout out to the world's greatest entertainer, Michael Jackson, on this one. Thriller is still killing him. Now, current superstar Beyonce, who is pregnant with twins, will not perform at Coachella this year, but she said that she will headline in the future. She plans on headlining next year's Coachella Festival in 2018. So this came because of her doctor telling her not to perform. So she's doing this on doctor's advice. So for the beehive, for the people who are having anxiety, she will be back next year. I don't know about the other lineups. They didn't talk about that because I know initially she, when she came, you know, Jay-Z was going to perform, Rihanna, and quite a few other people. But I think that's who she was bringing with her. So they didn't tell us anything about the change, but I'm sure that'll be coming out soon. But she did announce that on her doctor's advice, she will not be performing at Coachella this year. Now, Pope Francis says that it's better to be an atheist than a hypocrite, a hypocritical Catholic. Now, he was speaking today. He said that many Catholics lead a hypocritical double life. It was an improvised comment in a sermon of his private morning mass at his residence that he called it a scandal that there are so many hypocritical Catholics. But he said that it's better be atheist than be hypocritical Catholic. Now, I very rarely give my opinion, but I will in this case. I know it's a joke out there someplace, but it's like I said, when you know and you do wrong, it's probably a little worse than the people who don't know. So, hey, as the leader of the Catholic Church, he's saying, if you're in the church, follow the rules. I think that's where he was going with that. Now, I'm no Pope Francis scholar, but I'm just going to take that away from it. Now, data from the National UFO Reporting Center in Washington has revealed that the number of UFO sightings have shot up to 45,000 a year. That's more than 100,000 UFOs have been seen in the last 100 years. So, again, the sightings are increasing. So if you see any, kind of report them. They're getting reported more often. Or better yet, tape it and report it, because everybody has a camera phone now. All right, those $3 fees for ATM charges is benefiting the three largest banks, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America. They receive more than $6.4 billion in overdraft and ATM fees last year. So I don't know if they're going anywhere anytime soon, but your ATM fees are making these guys rich. It's just part of news. I'm just sharing. All right. Now, Amazon has applied for a liquor license for its secretive drive-through grocery store in Seattle. Now, the pilot store will allow customers to place their orders online, then drive up to the store during a specific 15-minute to 2-hour window and have their groceries delivered to their cars. Don't know how this is going to work out. Amazon did not release a statement on their future plans, but this right now is just, I guess it's just a test. It's a test market for them, but it is in Seattle, in case you want to know where you can call up and order and order your alcohol. Well, you can't do that. They're asking for a liquor license. Not yet. Now, a federal lawsuit accuses three insulin manufacturers of conspiracy or conspiring together to raise their prices as research finds costs increased 120% over the last 4 years. The federal lawsuit is accusing the three manufacturers of conspiring together to raise their prices, but the pharmaceutical companies deny the allegations. We'll keep an eye on that story and let you know how that turns out. Assault rifles are not protected under the Second Amendment, according to the U.S. Appeals Court, is what they ruled this week. The U.S. Appeals Court in Richmond, Virginia, has ruled that military-style assault weapons are not protected under the U.S. Constitution. That's dealing a blow to gun rights activists, and I'm sure they're going to try to appeal that to the Supreme Court. But assault rifles are not protected, according to the U.S. Appeals Court ruling this week. Now, former Attorney General Eric Holder, the former U.S. Attorney General, has been hired by Uber in order to investigate claims that were made over the weekend by a female employee who alleged that she had been subjected to sexual harassment and discrimination. So Susan Fowler Rigetti claimed that during the year she spent working for Uber, she and other female employees reported multiple instances of harassment and discrimination to the company's human resource department to no avail. So they did nothing, so now they're getting sued. And, you know, a former Attorney General Eric Holder is representing Uber, along with, I think, the former publisher of Huffington Post, Arianna Huffington, who's on the board. I think she's on a committee visiting these the company's policies from the company side. So they're not actually in the court part of this, but from the company side, they're putting together a commission, and it looks like they're going for the high-profile people to try to, you know, I guess get a little bit of notoriety to show that they're trying. Now, New York Police Department boss reveals that it cost the city $25 million to protect Donald Trump between the election and inauguration. Now, James O'Neill revealed that having police and fire protection protecting Trump's family, his home, and office for 75 days between Election Day and Inauguration Day came to a total of $25.7 million. Now, not only is this costing New York City a ton of money, as of now, in the first month, you know, first where what, day 34 of that of I was going to say something, day 34 of the Trump administration, they have spent in travel more than President Obama spent in 1 year. They've done that in 30 days in their travel. So let's see how this works out for everybody who complained about the Obama family in travel. All right, on that note. All right, let's go to the phone lines. You're listening to Esprinet News. We are going to go and bring in the commish. Hey, commish, how are you doing? See, I thought I'd get to you early.
$27.5 million. What?
I knew you were coming in on that. Cause what?
I'm sorry I'm screeching, everybody who's listening, but what?
Yeah, that's going to be now, where is he? In Palm Springs in Florida? He's costing them a mint. They're saying, I guess, 5,000 hours in overtime. Everybody's going to ask the federal government for help for this because they're costing these especially the small town of, like, he's going to break them. New York City, yes, we're going to complain, and nobody should be paying that much money for all of this. I mean, his daughter, his son-in-law, they're all having Secret Service. They're traveling all over the place. The taxpayers are paying for it. I can't, again, just like everything else, if this was President Obama, we'd be having problems.
Oh, please. We had problems. We had problems and he didn't do it. He had problems
that's
and he
true.
Didn't do it.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Okay, and then, but we've been complaining about this. I'm not saying like New York City residents proper, but Ronnie and I have been complaining about this.
A couple of residents have been complaining.
Like, why won't they kick him out of New York? Because he's been causing a problem even before he was inaugurated. We had to have, you couldn't go anywhere near Columbus Circle. You know, and he won't stay in D.C. And then the wife still lives there, right? And the son still goes to school. So now you have Secret Service detail all over the country, because he's got 10,000 kids. So what? We're supposed to cover all? I'm like, what on earth? What is this?
He at least put them all in the same house, but you can tell all of his kids don't live with him anyway. And plus, he lives in a hotel, which is a whole nother story. I'm thinking, he's supposed to be rich. He don't have a house, some compound someplace. Like, he can't go someplace. He lives inside of his hotels.
Yes, because
he
pays no money for it. But what they said was the Secret Service, they are – the whole, you know this, and you probably said this a few minutes ago. The hotel is charging the Secret Service because they took up residence in Trump Tower.
Right.
And they're charging the country. Secret Service is paying several million dollars, what is it, per month?
Yes.
To rent space in Trump Tower. So we are paying
just
the president.
Just to protect him.
We're paying him to protect him.
Right.
Now, where they do that at?
Oh, and here's the funny thing that, you know, he came out and said, I am not going to take the $400,000 a year salary as president. It's because you're spending up.
You
like,
lie.
You
took 10 times that.
He is, yeah, they're raking us over the coals. You know, but you know what this reminds me of? A little bit of not in thought, not in action, not in administration. But this reminds me a little bit of Reagan after Jimmy Carter left. Because you remember Jimmy Carter kept the thermostat in the White House at, I think it was like 72, 74, that everybody had to put on sweaters. And he said, we can't have this energy crisis and we're not empathizing with the people. So, you know, during the energy crisis, he would not do elaborate things. He actually kept the temperature down They put solar panels on top of the White House, and soon as Reagan got there, still broke, still in the middle of an energy crisis, he spent up all the money that Carter saved.
Wow.
And that's what Trump's doing. Yeah. This is my deja vu in watching this.
Deficit that he's been complaining about, he's causing it, and I don't understand why nobody is saying anything about it. All the jobs he's talking about, he could create jobs for probably an entire state just on what the Secret Service is paying to live in his hotel.
Now, that shows that he's making money, which again, is going to be a part of his impeachment trial, right? Because he keeps making money off of the government. And that is clearly defined that you're not supposed to do that.
What is
so they're bending the rules
trial?
Until somebody just turns
what
on
impeachment
them.
Trial, Jerome?
What if what?
What impeachment trial?
No. You have to, I am saying his impeachment trial is going to be something nice. I'm just saying that when there is one, there's way too much stuff, right? You can collect a lot of data on somebody, but he's only been there, 34, 35 days maybe? And it is going to get ugly because he has all these examples of, charging people. I think some of the ambassadors or someone who came to visit him at the White House stayed at one of his hotels. And then he took the Japanese president and his wife after they had a meeting in D.C. to Florida and said, we're not going to charge them for staying in Florida. Like, they're tangling too much stuff.
They're not going to charge them?
Yeah.
Like, they could charge them?
Yeah. I mean,
could
it's a hotel.
In his hotel? What did he take them there for?
Exactly. He's like, I want to show you a good time, but we're not going to charge them. Which means he's been charging people to come see him. See how this works? Impeachment is going to be nice. I'm just going to watch that.
Okay.
That should come. Yeah, that should come on at about 7 o'clock and then just run all through the night because that's going to be a nice little trial. All right.
Okay, so can I ask this because I don't know the answer to this. When the Prime Minister of Canada or when the Queen or when all these other folks came to the White House to see, not just President Obama, but any president, where do they stay and who pays for it?
When they go visit the White House?
Yes.
No, they don't pay. The government don't pay for it, and you can't stay in the White House. So you need to get your own accommodations.
Where do they usually stay, and who pays for it? Their government.
You pay
for it, right?
Oh yes. You're talking about foreign governments.
Yes, the foreign governments. Their foreign government. So, when President Obama went to visit the Queen, he didn't stay at the Buckingham. I don't know if they stayed at Buckingham. I'm assuming they didn't. But doesn't the United States pay for his travel?
The United States pays for the travel, yes.
Where he stays and everything else, don't we pay for that?
Yes, we do. We pay for that. So when people come here, they have to pay for it because they have to bring their own Secret Service. They bring their own security stuff too. So they just kind of secure a place and then they pay for it. We as a country won't pay for for visitors. Sometimes. I was going to say sometimes, if it's like a conference, when they go stay at it's like going to the UN, right? They will have places that you can stay, and I'm sure there's a specific rate that they get being diplomats. But I think the country has to pay for them coming.
Right.
Their country has to pay for their own.
I think it's just like anything else. If you take somebody, if you come over to see me, right, and you're expecting we're going to have a meeting, we're going to discuss policy, and then you might stay a few days, we have our meetings, whatever, and then you go back. But if I decide I'm going to have you run rip shot from state to state, go hang out in Florida and, oh, come see my hotel here and, you know, all this other kind of stuff. At some point, you're going to expect that I'm going to drop that dime because, come on now, I didn't plan for that.
Right, but here's the problem that I have with it just generally is those countries have their own security. They're sovereign nations. So technically, they're going to need accommodations wherever their president goes, and they're going to have to look out for it first. You, like when President Obama traveled abroad, they knew his schedule. You didn't just go say, hey, you know what, why don't you stay at my cousin's house? They got a nice little ranch over it. You can't just change schedule with the president of no country. So this guy is so off the rails, he's like unhinged that it's like they probably were planning on staying in D.C. and they were like, nope, we got everything set up. And it's like, oh, the Secret Service is at the other spot, you know. So he had to probably send some folks down and secure it. Oh, yeah, sounds like fun, right? All right. All right, now Chicago schools were ordered to stop immigration agents from entering without a criminal warrant. This is because of the Trump crackdown. They're saying the stand taken by Chicago Public Schools is among the boldest of the districts that have announced measures to protect those who may be living in the country illegally. So Chicago has come out to say, if you don't have a warrant, you can't come with my child. You can't come into these schools. I thought that was pretty interesting, but I know that sometimes we can't figure out the difference between having a national government and having local government. But federal is not and this is the good thing about what the founding fathers did, because this was a complaint during Obama. I know I sound like I'm rambling, but I have a thought here, is that when President Obama was there, remember, they were like, states' rights, and you just can't come in here. Well, we really need to find out about states' rights, because Trump seemed to believe that if something happens in the city, he can just run federal troops in there. And you can't do that. I don't think he gets
it. No, he can't do that.
Yeah, I don't think he comprehends how that works. But each state has its own constitution, Donald Trump. You cannot. It was done that way on purpose. Federal only regulates if it's interstate commerce. That is why Obamacare won at the Supreme Court. See, I'm trying to be a little slow just in case we have some Republicans listening. All right, now a former CIA, no, I'll do this one first. A number of refugees who are fleeing America to travel to Canada nearly doubled in the wake of Trump's immigration crackdown. But the number of immigrants claiming refugee status in the Canada-U.S. border rose to over 7,000 last year, and more than 1,400 people have claimed asylum at the border of Quebec since November. People started running out of this place once he got elected. Started in November.
Well, people did say that they were going to do that. Aren't you the one that talked about the dating website? Was that you?
Oh, yeah.
I thought we talked about that. The Canadian dating website.
Yep. Hey, they're trying to get people over to Canada. They're just saying, if you want to get up out of there, you want to leave the U.S., come to Canada. Now, a former CIA agent being extradited to Italy, where she's been convicted of kidnapping and torture of an Egyptian cleric as a part of the U.S. war on terror during the Bush era. Now, Portuguese police have detained this former agent, Sabrina de Souza, and are preparing her for extradition to Italy, where she had already been convicted in, what do you call that, abstentia? What do you call that? When somebody's, when they're absent, right? Now, upon arrival, she'll have to serve 4 years in prison for her crime. Now, she'll be the first CIA officer and U.S. diplomat over the Bush-era retention program to be jailed. So, you know, she and 26 other people were convicted on charges of snatching Osama Mustafa Hassan Nassar, from the streets of Milan in 2003, and they tortured him and detained him. So 61-year-old DeSota, who left the CIA in 2009, she was arrested in Portugal in October 2015 at the request of Italian prosecutors who wanted to serve a six-year sentence. Her passport was confiscated, but she was quickly released, and now she is in jail. Now, this speaks to a bigger point. I'm sure the story has come out that the White House now is trying to get her, you know, get them to let her go. Yes, but let's think about this. This is Portugal and Italy, and they are detaining people who broke the law during the Bush administration. Now, I know I've said this many times, but the Bush, there's an international warrant out for George W. Bush and Cheney. And I think people can't really hear that until you start scooping up the agents. So she should have known that, and she went out. You know, she retired in 2009. 2015, she catches her butt in Portugal, and they're extraditing her to Italy. Okay, I just wanted to say that. You know, like sometimes we think we forget that the Bush era, they were breaking international law. So we get So I kind of think like everybody is kind of ignoring that. I've seen a little bit of news about it, but that's important to know that these people are still getting round up, and your country broke the law internationally and was convicted in somebody else's court, and we act like it didn't happen. But we get to go snatch people from other countries, right?
But I don't think that people believe that, you know, I hate to bring it down to this. Let's just say this. I don't think that people believe that certain men and some women would ever be brought up on any kind of criminal charges. I think that some people believe that they can do whatever they want and there's no problem. And case in point, the current, you know, president of the United States.
And that's why I said his impeachment trial is going to be pretty interesting. Because as a narcissist, you're going to just be like, y'all can't do this to me. I'm Rick James. Like, it's going to be crazy.
And I think it's the same thing with Bush and Cheney. I don't think it's any different, really.
Yes, but again, remember Bush, when Mandela passed, he rode on Air Force One. He knew they were going to pick him up. So he stayed with President Obama. And I think when he had to speak in Geneva, Switzerland. No. Yeah, it was in Switzerland. He had to speak there. He called ahead and asked them would they enforce that international warrant for his arrest, and he canceled that trip. But he did go to Canada, but they're calling ahead to see if they're going to arrest him once he crossed the border. He's actually doing that. Yeah, I actually did that news story. They're checking before he leaves. George Bush can't leave this country. That international warrant, if he's even in European countries. Now, again, this was in Portugal, and they extradited to Italy to go to jail. So we're talking, they broke international rules. Either you're in with everybody internationally, or you can't complain about other countries.
Right.
They got. You know, brought up on charges on international court.
And what was the charge?
For which one? For the CIA agent?
For Bush and Cheney.
Oh, I'll have to look that up. I remember doing that story too. I mean, it was like 16 counts, if I can remember correctly. But I can't remember what it was. But it had to do with this because the CIA agent who was convicted of kidnapping and torture, and remember Bush and Cheney was saying it's our enhanced interrogation, and they were actually co-signing. So international court said that your leaders, it's like what they tried to claim with, you know, Libya's president or somebody else's, when your leader tells you it's okay to do something, not only are you going to jail, but they're bringing up your leader on charges, the person who ordered it. And they admitted to ordering it. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So they got convicted, but they did order it. So I'll keep on that story, but I looked at the stories that were published in the U.S. paper, and they're all talking about it from the White House perspective. But the initial story that came out did come out in international from other international sources when it first happened. So the White House response is, we are in talks to try to get them to whatever. But these are Bush-era issues. Now, she was one of 26 people convicted, but she's the first one to go to jail because the other ones were pardoned for some reason. So I don't know what happened and how they got pardoned out of theirs. But they were some of them were pardoned, probably before the last administration was in whatever those countries were, pardoned them. But they were convicted.
Wow.
She should check to see if she got pardoned first. All right. Now, in this small Colorado town, this the Parachute Board of Trustees, which is they approved a business license for this company called the Tumbleweed Express. It is a drive-through marijuana shop in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
So the business is expected to open in March. It was a former car wash, and now I can't tie them two together, but people are going to be driving through there. I don't know how to tie a car wash into vegetation. I don't know how that's going to work. Now, the singer Rihanna has been named Harvard University's 2017 Humanitarian of the Year for building a breast cancer treatment center in Barbados. Now, the 29-year-old, but how do you say this? Is she a Barbadian? I don't know how you say it. She's from Barbados.
Bajan.
Barbadian?
Bajan.
Bajan? Okay. She's gonna receive the Peter J. Gomes Humanitarian Award during a ceremony in Cambridge, Massachusetts on Tuesday. I don't know if it's open to the public, but that's interesting that Rihanna's getting an award. Now, on Wednesday, it was revealed that Jay-Z, or Sean Carter, is set to become the first rapper ever included in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Now, the Songwriters Hall announced that other heavyweights in the industry, like Kenneth Babyface Edmonds and Max Martin and Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, will also be a part of the 2017 inductee class. Motown's founder Berry Gordy, who deferred his induction last year, will also be inducted. So writers are eligible for induction after writing hit songs for at least 20 years. So it's the 48th annual induction awards dinner on June 15th in New York, by the way.
Berry Gordy delayed his? Why?
Yeah, he deferred his last year. They didn't say, but he deferred his induction, and he'll be included this year. Now, I don't get why Babyface and Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis are just making it too, but, oh well, I don't know what that means.
Okay. Did they induct? What was the other duo? Black duo, songwriters.
Who? Aspen and Simpson?
No. They're in, right?
They better be. I don't know if they're in there. I forgot. I have to go look up a list and see who's in there. I don't know who's actually in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. I know Jay-Z, they're just saying Jay-Z is the first
rapper
to be inducted.
Uh-huh.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
Congratulations,
all right, now,
Sean.
There you go, Sean. Now, Arsenio Hall drops his $5 million lawsuit against Sinead O'Connor after she apologized for accusing him of giving Prince drugs. Now, Hall took legal action at Sinead O'Connor for, you know, accusing him of supplying narcotics and even spiking her drink at a party at Eddie Murphy's house. I don't care if she apologized. He should have broke her and sent her to jail, because she did that right after Prince passed away. She said, oh, Yeah, Arsenio was his drug dealer.
What? He just,
yeah, do you
Arsenio
remember that?
Can't catch him. Every decade somebody comes at him
for some nonsense. But he sued her for $5 million, but he dropped it after she apologized. I wouldn't be nice to her. She slandered you on the height of, you know, Prince passing away. And
why did he drop it? She must have paid him.
No, I guess he said it says after she apologized.
And settled.
No, she don't have no money. You know she broke. She made all of her money off of Nothing Compares to Your Prince song. So she got no royalty. She didn't write it. But the problem is that she got her popularity off of him and still did that. I'm mad at Arsenio for dropping that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I don't even know where to take this. Now, an AIDS vaccine cures up to 5 patients in Barcelona, Spain. Now, they have now been virus-free for 7 months without any help of daily drugs. This is a new study from, okay, you know, I hate these crazy drug name companies, but I'm going to give it a shot. It's Urzakaliex AIDS Research Institute in Barcelona, Spain. I don't know what that is. They have found a vaccine that has functionally cured 5 HIV patients, and it could prevent the need for taking antiretroviral drugs again. Now, again, I would say that this was a great success, but I know where this is going. They make too much money off of those drugs. Somebody's going to buy the patent or buy the company, and it's not going to come out. That's what I'm predicting. I kind of feel that.
I hope they don't sell it.
Yeah, you know how this is gonna go. We're losing holistic doctors all over this all over the place, and found a vaccine, right?
Now
a study finds that creative people have better connected brains. Now experts at Duke University has debunked the concept that the right-brained people are more creative, and they found that creativity depends on how well the two hemispheres connect. So they're saying you have more connections between both sides of your brain, just not the right side is making creative. You need both sides of your brain to be creative. That seems a little silly to me. I don't know why it's funny. But I'm thinking that should have been obvious. But they're just saying, you know, one side was supposed to be for thinkers, the other side was for creative people. They're saying they're debunking that that way of thinking.
But do
they
also say that about men and women? That men and women use X side of the brain and men use blah, 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 and that's why women were supposed to be more, what, creative? Or something?
Yes. Yeah, you know, I'm always skeptical of most of those type of studies, but here's the thing. I have an issue with the study of those kind of things anyway, because what does it really mean, right? So if you can think, for example, why did you care how you think? Do you know what I mean? It seems kind of silly. It's like digging up graves. You know, Native Americans and Africans do not dig up graves. European culture, they will dig you up just to see what you ate. Like, you know what happened when he died? He had chili. You know, like, it just seems silly. Why are you messing with people who died? Like, stop. Get out of people's head. Just so that you, because I want to know. That's all that is. All right. Now, in some bad news, I have to run through a couple of bad news stories. A 13-year-old boy reportedly showed no remorse after shooting his own great-grandmother. He faces 3 years in jail for the slaying. So Mary Williams Falk, who's 68, was found shot dead in her home, and I guess it's Samos, Alabama. on Thursday afternoon, 13-year-old boy was arrested with two accomplices, one 15, the other one's 19. And the sheriff's captain said that we can't affirmatively say that he pulled the trigger, and added that he was floored by how cold the 13-year-old was about the crime. He said, my conversation with him showed a very evil person. He said, in my 28 years, I have not seen anyone like that. He was not remorseful in the least. The other two kids at least were remorseful, but they were older, and the law requires defendants to be 14 to be tried as adults, so the 13-year-old can only face 3 years for his crime. Now,
what?
Kathleen, while you're here, I should put on the music and ask, is this a black or white case?
Because
we
baby.
Know.
Black
hey, let me tell you
baby.
Something. I don't care if he's 13. They would hold his child off till he turned 14 to prosecute
when's
that fool.
When's the birthday? When's the birthday,
yeah.
Baby?
When's the birthday?
No
he's like, your birthday's in August? Okay, we got time. They
got
must
time.
Hold off. And, yeah, it seems kind of silly that they're saying we can't. Yeah, because it doesn't matter when you commit the crime. It matters when you go on trial, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Can you? I'm asking, huh?
They can't go back and say, oh, well, we arrested him when he was 13, so we're going to try him as though he was 13 and he's 26 now.
That's true. But that's my point. So it's you have to be a certain age at the time that they try you for something, right?
Yes, but they're not supposed to be able to hold your trial off. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Well, my bad. Okay, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
How about we charge him with something else and then charge him with the murder later? Can I do that?
Well, see, then you'd be on the other show side of black or white. You know what I'm saying? That's what happens to us. All the
that
time.
See, that's my point. They would figure this out. Because
we'd be sitting in jail till, you know, whatever.
Yeah. They'd be like,
you
no, the court is just too packed and the schedule is just, I mean, we can't get you in till, when's your birthday? We can't get you in till the week after your birthday. That's how this would go down.
They would have found whatever loophole there was in the law to say, oh, wait a minute,
yeah.
But his second big toe is bigger than the first one. So on January 16th, if the second toe is longer, then we could try him as an adult.
There was two accomplices, right? So wouldn't they do this naturally? They would try the first two to get them to roll over on him on his trial, right? That could take months. Just
yeah,
saying.
It could.
Yeah,
it could.
I'm going to find out when that kid's birthday is. I think I'm going to send them a note. I'm trying to help you out.
Help them along.
You're like, if it was me, you wouldn't need no help, but I'm going to help you out. Yeah. If they know that kid's that cold and he's 13, how are they going to let him walk? Never mind. Get 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, and you know, I could have did black or white because if his mama was living, they wouldn't. They need to keep him in there to keep him away from his mother.
Right.
How are you going to shoot your great grandmother?
That's awful. That's terrible.
Yeah. I know. All right. So a married Baptist pastor and teacher assistant, he was 53. She was 53, tied an 18-year-old student to a garage ceiling before sexually assaulting her. Mike Omer, a Tennessee pastor, has been accused of tying up and raping an 18-year-old girl who attended the school that he assisted at. He allegedly tied her. Anyway, that's enough of that. But he's a married Baptist pastor and a teacher assistant. It wasn't two people. I thought it was two. It was just him. Now, a mother of four, 34, and her 23-year-old boyfriend are charged with killing her two-year-old son. Rebecca Thomas, 34, Taylor Montgomery Gutzman, who's 23, was arrested in California last November, more than a month after the child was found bruised and bleeding. So just had to get that stuff out of the way. And what's her name? Devon Chase. She's a child star from the 2002 horror movie The Ring. Have you ever seen that movie? I don't really watch horror movies. So this girl was arrested by the LAPD detectives after she allegedly left a dying man outside of a hospital. So she's now 26 and reportedly been hanging out with a man to the early hours of February 15th before she left him at the hospital's front door and fled. Police then ran her name and discovered an outstanding warrant against her and led to her arrest yesterday. Now, here's the thing. You know, I know that was just a movie, but I ain't hanging out with that little girl. I'm just going to tell you right now. I think it was the movie where you watch something on TV and then she come through the TV. I've seen a lot of spoofs on it, like, you know, where you have a spoof show and the little girl with the comes out of the well or something. It's that little girl. Y'all need to remember what your mama said. Y'all, you don't need to play with her. There's something about her. Don't play with that little girl. Just wanted to put that out there.
But they didn't arrest her for leaving the man dying outside the hospital. They arrested her for the warrant.
They arrested her for a warrant.
Right.
But leaving her outside the hospital, again, do I need to play black or white? They arrested her for unpaid parking tickets. Leaving a dying guy out there is a... All right, so here's another black and white for you. A drunk driver who killed a talented violinist is sentenced to spend 1 week in jail on the anniversary of her death for the next 9 years. So Travis Elwell from Mesquite, Texas, will sit in jail on the anniversary of the death of the woman that he killed in a drunk driving accident for the next 9 years. Just on her birthday, though.
They just gave me house arrest for that.
Huh?
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
Nothing.
Come on.
I got nothing.
Okay, see, I thought you might have something for me.
Then we're going to let you out, and then we'll see you again next
right,
year.
Right, but I don't know if it has to be at midnight, because that's kind of late. Can I just come in during the day hours? Because, you know... you know how this goes. Like, so you get sentenced and you serve about, like, you know, a third of the time, maybe, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So since you got to stay the day, can you just get, how about if I give you 3 hours?
Yeah.
You know.
How about I just give you 9 days right now? Straight.
No, because he don't want to stay when the lights go out. He don't want to be there late. you know what I mean? He's going to be there and do it, like, from 8 to, like, 6:30. You know, he'd be there for lunch, for breakfast. Yeah. He won't be gone right at dinner, though. Yeah, he got stuff to do. All right, now, okay. So a Memphis funeral home is bringing the convenience of fast food to visitation hours to his funeral home. I don't know if it's a former fast food place, but Ryan Bernard, the owner of R. Bernard Funeral Home, said that he got the idea from another funeral home in California. Bernard loved the idea of a drive-through because he wanted to make sure that families who were already dealing with the loss weren't also dealing with inconvenience. So he went on to explain that having a drive-through visitation only takes place during viewing hours, and that there is security on the grounds to be sure that everything runs smoothly. So you're going to have a drive-through wake service is what they're talking about in Memphis.
Oh, I thought you were talking about food. What are they serving?
Yeah, they're taking it from the fast food drive-through concept, but I don't know, they're propping the person up in the window or something. I don't know how this is going to work, but they now have a – what'd you say?
Weekend at Bernie's. What was the name of that movie?
It is a Weekend at Bernie's. Okay, so that That was a problem even thinking about it. It almost gave me a headache just to even think about that kind of concept. But yeah, a weekend at Bernie's, Kathleen. They're gonna start doing wakes of people who threw a drive through.
Well, you know you can do a black or white on that one too.
We could.
You know black people driving through no wakes. That ain't gonna happen.
Yeah. I was gonna say I would be wrong on this one because there is no way in heck that black people would do that. People get emotional at funerals. You don't want them driving.
Driving?
Or imagine.
No way.
Imagine the person in the backseat. Like, what are you going to do with them? It just seems wrong all the way around.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
That's just wrong.
What'd you say?
I said, that's just all kinds of wrong.
It is all kind of wrong. I don't know why somebody thought that was a great idea, but apparently they think that it was a good idea to pretty much have people go through drive-thru waves. All right, so next time I think we're going to play a game of black and white. This news is getting a little too crazy for me these days.
You got it.
All right. Now, on that note, we will see you again next week. Thanks for listening to S3Net News. And with your host, Kathleen. Hey, Kathleen. I just had to tell you that. All right, thanks for hanging, Kathleen.
Anytime. Take care.
All right, see you again next week.
All right.
All right.
Good night.